Winning once is hard enough.
The wait is over.
How sweet it is, the fruits of victory.
But this year's battle,
show the Giants who the real bosses are in the NL West,
is for back-to-back.
Let's go, Dodgers. Let's do back-to-back. Conquer for Kirsch.
Welcome to Postseason Dodger Talk.
I'm grateful for your show.
And I love listening to you, especially on the game.
Your chance to sound off on the Boys in Blue. Call the show at 866-987-2570.
Without you guys, there's no Dodger Talk.
LA Dodger Baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito,
seasoning partner of the Dodgers,
Navien Tankless Water Heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Now your host for Postseason Dodger Talk, David Bassett.
Welcome to Dodger Talk, live from Dodger Stadium. We're with you until 10 o'clock tonight here on AM 570 LA Sports. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. And the Dodgers find themselves in the same predicament that they were last season when they went down 3-1 in the NLCS to these Atlanta Braves. They're not the same Atlanta Braves. They're a little bit more pitching deep than they were a year ago, and I feel like that's the biggest difference between this year's NLCS and last year's NLCS. If you had to say the Braves have a little bit more left in the tank with their pitching than the Dodgers do at this point in time, and if the Dodgers can find a way to win game 5 tomorrow night and force a game 6, you have Max Scherzer on the mound, and that's all you can ask for Scherzer to try to force a game 7 that would probably see Walker Buehler on the mound in a game 7. That's all you can ask for that opportunity. But tomorrow night is going to be a bullpen game while the Braves have Max Fried on the mound for them. And Max Fried has been really good the last 13 starts of the season, including game 1 of this NLCS. Fried has not lost a decision in the last 13 times he has started a game. And I'm sure he's going to have a lot of emotions being on the mound here at Dodger Stadium, growing up in Encino, playing in the Encino Little League, having Reggie Smith, our own Rick Monday's former teammate, be his mentor, coming to the ballpark that he grew up watching the Dodgers in, and he has the chance to pitch his team to the World Series. As a kid, isn't that what we all dream of? I feel like that's what we all dream of. And Max Fried has that opportunity tomorrow night here at Dodger Stadium, but the Dodgers are hoping to spoil all of that for him. So the advantage is in the Braves' favor. This was a big loss. Make no mistake about it. The Dodgers riding the momentum of last night's comeback in the 8th inning. They needed that momentum to be carried over by the starting pitcher tonight in Julio Urias, and he just did not have it tonight. It was very obvious. He did not have life on his fastball. Whether or not pitching 3 times in the last 6 days had something to do with it, only Julio knows that. I don't know that. Dave Roberts certainly is not going to concede that in his postgame comments. But he wasn't the same Julio that we have seen for the majority of this year. And take into account that not only did Julio Urias pitch tonight for the 3rd time in the last 6 days, but he has pitched more innings and more games by a wide margin of any other season in his major league or professional career. So you have to wonder, all of this combining to be a flat Julio Urias tonight, and I would imagine his relieving days are probably behind him for the rest of this postseason, unless it's a do-or-die situation in the World Series. So for Julio, it just wasn't happening, and a little uncharacteristic of him to, I don't know if you want to call it show up or react to one of his own players behind him not making a play. And no doubt about it, Gavin Lux should have made that catch in the 3rd inning on a Jock Peterson fly ball to center field. For whatever reason, he pulled up. I guess the reason would be he doesn't have much experience playing center field. Usually your weakest link in the outfield is not playing the position where more balls and big plays are hit to. Usually the weakest link, i.e. Manny Ramirez for the Red Sox or Chris Duncan for the 2011 champion Cardinals, play left field. And Gavin Lux has been in the outfield, in center field, where he doesn't have much experience, and he has missed a couple of balls that most center fielders catch. But it was very uncharacteristic of Julio to let the moment get to him and all of a sudden throw his arms up in frustration, looking directly at Lux like, what the heck happened, dude? And that just isn't what you want to see from your pitcher. Honestly, the last time I've seen a pitcher show up one of his infielders or outfielders for not making a play was when I used to cover the Angels in the 2000s. John Lackey and Jared Weaver were notorious for doing that. I'm serious. That's the first time I've seen a pitcher do something like that since Lackey and Weaver. And I didn't see Gavin Lux throwing up his arm or throwing his glove down when Julio served up 3 home runs tonight. So, you know what? You just got to swallow it. And every player here on this Dodger field understands what they were sacrificing by having Lux in there. All of these pitchers wanted offense and wanted runs and accepted Lux being in the outfield. I'm not sure if they accepted him being in center field, but they certainly accepted him being in left field. But this game was not just about Gavin Lux missing a catch in the third inning. It was about the tone of Julio, the starting pitcher, not delivering tonight. And you can understand why. I just laid out why the reasons would be. But the Dodger offense, it's been boom or bust all season long. If you've been following the Dodgers all year long, they are a boom or bust team. And they have been chasing outside of the strike zone for the majority of these postseason games. And luckily, they have some October performers from years past that have been able to deliver. And one guy that has not delivered in his postseason career and has continued that trend, unfortunately, is this year's National League batting champion, Trey Turner, who is only 3-for-18 in the NLCS after going 0-for-4 tonight. He is just hitting .182 this postseason. And in his career, he's a .224 lifetime postseason hitter. They frankly need more out of Trey Turner. Tonight, their first three hitters were a combined 0-for-11. Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, Trey Turner did not have a hit. And then if you want to add their cleanup hitter to that, the man that's in the lineup for his bat, Will Smith, 0-for-4 tonight as well. So their first four hitters tonight did not get a hit. Tough to win a playoff game with that going on. 866-987-2570. We'll hear from Freddie Freeman in a moment. We'll also check in with Jerry Harrison Jr. in 10 minutes. But let's go out to the phone calls. Sambino in Los Angeles, you were lead us off on Dodger Talk tonight. Hi, Sambino.
Hey, Ben, can you hear me?
Ben, it's David.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I was whispering because I'm still at Dodger Stadium, and I didn't want to be too loud around the rest of the fans.
Well, who's
no,
Ben?
I'm just kidding. That was an awful showing all the way around. I was pissed off at the energy last night, and I'm pissed off tonight. Now, first of all, I want to wish good luck tomorrow to L.A. Local and Harbor Westlake alumni Max Fried. Second, I'm furious with the way that the pitching staff has been handled this whole postseason. The reason Julio didn't perform is because he's overworked. Like you said, third time in 6 days. He's a 20-game winner. Why is he coming out of the bullpen in any scenario? If anything, it's because we've neglected the bullpen for 4 years in the front office. But that's neither
not
here nor
really.
There.
Really. You've already made two inaccurate statements. Number one, calling me Ben. And number two, saying the front office has neglected the bullpen the last 4 years. The bullpen has been great. That's why I've maintained, and I obviously you've not been listening, that it's unnecessary to use Julio coming out of the bullpen. They have good enough relief pitchers to get the job done. Let's go out to a man that always brings some sanity to the conversation. Ken in Newport Beach, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, hi, David. So, you know, my family came out in 1958, same time as the Dodgers. I've been a fan as a little kid, and I've seen a lot of things I didn't like, a lot of things that didn't make sense. But I used to pitch. I used to coach pitching. In the first inning, I'm yelling to people around me, he's got nothing. His fastball's not there, home run. He doesn't have anything. Home run. What didn't make any sense to me, if I could see that a fastball wasn't there, the curve wasn't there, he ended up giving up 5 runs, 8 hits, and 2 walks. Why did he come up to hit in the third inning, and why did nobody come was nobody in the pen, even in the fifth inning. You could see he didn't have it. You know, they weren't hitting, obviously. The team has not been where they should have been. But that was a horrible performance to leave him in when it looked like he was just getting crushed. And then to make sure that they didn't come back, he puts the cat boy in, who gives up another bunch of runs. Between those two, they had a 22 ERA. I don't understand why you had no one up in the pen and didn't pull him sooner when it was clear he didn't have it.
All right, Ken, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Yeah, he did not have life on his fastball, and it was interesting that he wasn't using his changeup more. It seemed like it was fastball, curveball for Julio early on in this game. And like I mentioned during the clubhouse show, if you follow along on MLB.com, the game day portion of it, you can see the velocity. They have so much information on it now. So velocity coming out of Julio's hand and the velocity when it crossed home plate. And there were several pitches that were clocked out of his hand at almost 94 miles an hour, but when it crossed home plate, it was only 83 miles an hour. That's a significant drop. And by the way, you know, when they talk about pitchers throwing harder than ever before, that's not accurate, because back in the 80s and prior, even in the 90s, they were clocking the ball crossing home plate. They were not clocking it out of the pitcher's hand. So when you see the velocity on television, you're seeing the velocity out of the pitcher's hand, not when it crosses home plate. So when you see 94 miles an hour out of Julio's hand, and it's only 83 miles an hour when it crosses home plate, that basically tells you he doesn't have any life on his fastball. And he only threw his changeup 19 times tonight. 46 curveballs for Julio tonight, and he hung a few. 26 fastballs and 19 changeups. So I'm not sure what the game plan was, but the Braves certainly were on top of it. And I felt like he settled in the third inning, honestly, after he gave up a home run to Freddie Freeman. I felt like he was starting to settle in. It was unfortunate that Gavin Lux's inexperience in center field prevented him from getting out of that third inning and only being down 3-0. But at the end of three, he was down 4-0, and he only gave up one more run in the fifth, another home run there, which was obviously unfortunate as well. 866-987-2570 is the phone number for the Braves. As you heard Dave Roberts talk about, Tyler Matzik and AJ Minter, their big boys, really shut them down. And you want to talk about work? Tyler Matzik, after pitching 69 games during the regular season, has pitched every single Braves playoff game this postseason, which is 8, and he has been on top of his game. And the Dodgers now are looking at a very formidable Braves bullpen on top of Max Fried tomorrow night, and they don't have Justin Turner, who is out for the remainder of the NLCS, straining his left hamstring as he was running up the first baseline, grounding into a double play. And Turner is out for the remainder of the postseason, and he will be replaced on the NLCS roster. According to Dave Roberts, they're going with a position player instead of possibly replacing his spot on the roster with David Price. For Justin Turner, hopefully the Dodgers can duplicate what they did a year ago and come back from a 3-1 deficit and go to the World Series. And if they did win the World Series, Justin Turner would not be playing in it, because once you're replaced on the roster in the previous round, you're ineligible for the next one. And if you remember last year, Justin Turner had to come out of the game in Game 6 of the World Series after having a really great postseason. He had to come out because they got the test results in the middle of the game that he tested positive for COVID-19, so he wasn't on the field for the last out. And if for some reason the Dodgers pull off this comeback and win the World Series, Justin Turner will not have that opportunity again to be part of that dogpile on the final out of the World Series this season. So just a disappointing ending to him and his season. But hopefully it's not an ending to the Dodgers season, because they did it last year. I know it's different circumstances this year, but one thing that we know about this Dodger team, when their backs are against the wall, it seems like that's when they play their best. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Rudy in Echo Park. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Rudy.
Hey, Hi, Dave. Hey, I'm glad you touched on those 2 points early on about the workload that Urias had. That this being the first time he ever pitched in the whole entire season, and how Dave Roberts. I mean, he seems the only one that's not noticing that. And on game two, how he disrespected the bullpen. One of the only bright spots that we had on our team, the bullpen, and he calls in Urias to go ahead and lose the game for us. I mean, it was not his fault, but he's just all the overload that he's getting from the manager.
All right, Rudy. Thanks for the phone call. Understand your frustration. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Jacob in Burbank. You're on Dodger Talk. How you doing, Jacob?
Pretty good. And yourself, David?
Doing well. Disappointing night for the Dodgers after an exciting finish last night, but they can give us hope if you look back at last year. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
Yeah, I just wanted to know your opinion. Like, what do you think they should do moving forward in terms of their decision-making? Like, what do you want to see out of the players in terms of their offense and defense?
Well, it's easier said than done to hit in the major leagues, Jacob, but I would love to see really good players perform like really good players and not try to be heroes and just be part of a team, be part of a chain, and just pass the baton like they've talked about when they've done well. One guy can't do it all. And when you're chasing outside the strike zone, especially when you're down early 4-0, you feel like one guy's trying to do it all and one guy can't do it all. And, you know, that's what I saw tonight again. 866-987-2570. Dodgers lose to the Braves 9-2 in game four of the NLCS. They're down 3-1. But anything I can say to give you optimism will fall on deaf ears. But if there's one man that can give you optimism and hope, Dodger fans, that is Charles Barkley. And we all know if you follow the NBA and the NBA on TNT, Barkley's guarantees usually are really bad. And last night, after the Lakers lost to the Warriors, our guys Jimmy Rollins and Curtis Granderson went on stage and started talking baseball with Sir Charles. And Charles Barkley made this guarantee. This should give you hope.
I am not deterred. I am not deterred. The Atlanta Braves, we just wanted to try to make more games for TBS. I'm guaranteed.
There you go. See, Dodger fans, that should give you hope. The Dodgers will come back in this series because Charles Barkley made one of his infamous guarantees that the Braves are going to win this series. So there you go. That's my inspiration for you tonight. 866-987-2570. When we continue here live from Dodger Stadium, we'll check in with Jerry Harrison Jr., who is wrapping up on Sportsnet LA, get his thoughts on where the Dodgers are at, and I'm sure he'll give you more hope that the Dodgers can come back in this series. The Dodgers are down 3-1 in the NLCS after falling to the Braves in game four, 9-2 on AM570 LA Sports.
This is Dodger Talk on your home of the world champion Dodgers. Follow us on Instagram at AM570 LA Sports for more Dodger content.
The home of the Dodgers,
AM570 LA Sports.
David Vassay live at Dodger Stadium, where the Braves take game four, 9-2, and now have a 3-1 lead in the NLCS with Max Fried out of Encino on the mound for them tomorrow night. One of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball is looking to pitch the Braves to the World Series by beating his childhood team that he grew up rooting for, your Los Angeles Dodgers. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment, but we want to check in with Jerry Harrison Jr., who has just wrapped up at the Sportsnet LA studios. And Jerry, we all talked about it last night, that October, the momentum can change in 24 hours, and it certainly has changed once again tonight.
Absolutely. Really disappointed tonight. We all are. I know the Dodger players are.
the Dodger fan base. I really thought, especially after last night with Cody Bellinger giving us a shot in the arm, and them having a bullpen game. You know, they didn't exactly throw out DeGrom or old school Roy Halladay. They had a bullpen game, not a lot of velocity. I really thought the Dodgers would tee off on the Braves, swinging the bats, and really set the tone offensively. It didn't happen offensively. And on the flip side, you know, Julio Urias wasn't really sharp tonight. You know, you could really kind of tell, you know, talking to many pitchers, you know, maybe the velocity could be there, but when you start to fatigue, location is the first to go. And you saw a lot of pitches up in the zone for Julio Urias early in the ball game, and the Braves took advantage of them.
What did you think was the biggest factor tonight as far as the Dodgers offense goes, Jerry? It seemed like Dave Roberts was more frustrated than I've ever heard him after a game and was choosing his words very carefully when trying to assess the Dodger offense tonight, which only generated 2 runs on 4 hits.
Yeah, I mean, he was frustrated. I know the guys in that dugout, in that clubhouse are frustrated. On the mound, like a DeGrom pumping 98 with nasty sink and run, Roy Halladay, guys like Roger Clemens that are just dealing. You understand that, you know, but when you're not able to make adjustments on guys, and there was no knock on the guys they had for the Braves, but Smiley hadn't seen action in 18 days. He wasn't exactly overpowering. You know, I think that's what's frustrating for manager Dave Robertson. I'm sure the guys are frustrated. They couldn't take advantage of the Braves bullpen, who really were kind of conceding the game, if you will, meaning they didn't want to pitch their stud guys because they knew that they had Julio going for us. But then the Braves jump out and take an early lead, 3-0, and then now the momentum quickly shifts back to the Braves. It's really disappointing. I really thought going in the ball game, the Dodgers would really ride that momentum from last night, and it would carry over offensively and really have that offensive moment that the Dodgers seem to have, you know, every once 6 or 7 games or so where they put like an 8 or 9 spot. I really thought that would be this game.
Yeah, if it wasn't going to be this game, I don't believe it's going to be tomorrow's game against Max Fried, especially now without Justin Turner. And I know Justin hasn't had a great postseason, Jerry, but he means a lot to this team. How big of a loss is it, and how much tougher is it going to be for the Dodgers to not only win a Game 5, but to try to duplicate what they did last NLCS?
It definitely hurts. You know, anytime you lose your leader like Justin Turner, and he's out for the rest of the postseason, grade 2 sprain of the hamstring, it's going to be tough. But again, this team has battled. When you think they're done and out, they find a way to make something happen. And I think the biggest thing is I would tell this team is win one ball game. You have your stud bullpen arms going for you from jump. Kirk Knebel's probably going to get the ball. He'll go an inning, possibly two. And then from there, the bullpen has carried you all season long. You as an offense have to find a way to manufacture runs and hopefully score 5 or 6, and that should be enough. And if you do that, you win tomorrow night's ball game. Now you're set up having Max Scherzer on full rest and then Walker Buehler on regular rest for games 6 and 7. I mean, that's the opportunity you hope, you put yourself in position, if you're in this position, to hope for. You know, win one ball game at home. You've done a great job swinging the bats at home. You win one ball game and then have Max Scherzer going game 6.
All right, Jerry, we'll check in with you hopefully later in this series, and we'll see where it goes tomorrow night. Thanks a lot for checking in.
Anytime, Dave.
All right, there goes Jerry Hairston Jr., taking off from, I believe they were out in center field tonight. So the ever-optimist Jerry Hairston Jr. Daniel's Jewelers Home Run Forecast congratulates Brian Wolf, who receives a $50 Daniel's Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in the game. For your chance to win a $50 gift card, go to over 100 Daniel's locations. Go to am570lasports.com, keyword home run. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Manny, who is at Dodger Stadium tonight. Hi, Manny. You're on Dodger Talk.
Hey, Dave. Thank you so much for taking my call tonight. Yeah, disappointed. You know, we showed up, my brother and I, we went to the game, and we had to make ourselves feel a little bit better. We just drove through In-N-Out right now, got a couple double-doubles, you know how we do around here. So,
I might
do
the same.
We're not feeling too bad, Dodgers Nation. We're doing okay out here. You know, we're eating good still. I don't even know where to begin. I felt like the series got a little bit derailed. Robin Roberts threw Julio in Game 2. It was such a head-scratcher. Thought they kind of overthought that whole thing. But anyways, with everything going on today with the error with Lux and the team not really hitting like Trey Turner, we have our 1-4 hitters have just been ice cold or non-existent besides Mookie. These are the kind of things that set up a recipe for disaster for some series. But guys, I'm very optimistic, just like Jay Harrison Jr. We still got some games left, so we're going to have to take this one game at a time, and these guys are going to have to show up, these big names like Turner, you know, Seager's been showing up, and all these other dudes like, you know, Chris Taylor, he's been there from the beginning.
Hey, Manny, I hate to say it, but the Dodgers have done well when Mookie Betts shows up and carries this team. So as Mookie goes, the Dodgers go, period. That's the way it's been. He's had an outstanding postseason, and when he does his thing and he's involved and he's making plays and he's getting on base, the Dodgers offense goes. He's the leadoff hitter. He's the guy. He's the superstar. So as Mookie goes, the Dodgers go, and they need him even more now without Justin Turner. Thanks for the phone call. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to East L.A. Sam, you're on Dodger Talk. Hi, Sam.
Hey, David. How you doing? Yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts. I really think the Dodgers are completely lifeless. I mean, I think they
Wait a minute. Sam, did you think they were lifeless last night in the eighth inning? When you don't score and you only have four hits, you look lifeless.
Yeah, but I think that was maybe a half an inning of good baseball for them. And I think what it is they're just spent from the Giants series. I mean, you got to figure that the whole month of September was like a playoff for them because they're trying to catch the Giants and trying to win the division. Now you're in face-to-face with the Giants, the two best teams in baseball. It's a rivalry. The series is all hyped up. And that's, I feel like some of them just mentally and emotionally, they're just drained from that series.
Okay, Sam, that's fair, and I'll concede that. I feel like that could be the case with certain players, but I don't believe you can say that for every player. I mean, Chris Taylor was spent after Game 2, and look, he came back, had a big hit. Cody Bellinger had a big hit. So I think you could say that for certain guys. I don't think you could say that for the whole team, but it's fair, and I've heard others say the same thing, Sam. Thanks for the phone call. 866-987-2570. Dodgers fall to the Braves in Game 4 of the NLCS 9-2. And as we are talking this through the last 40 minutes or so, the biggest difference between this year and last year when the Dodgers did come back 3-1 to beat the Braves is the fact the Dodgers had more players and they had more pitching than the Braves. If you were listening to me last year when I was in Arlington in the bubble for a month and was going through that NLCS, I felt like the Dodgers were going to come back even after they went down 3-1 because the longer that series went, the Dodgers had the advantage because they had more pitching than the Braves and they had better players than the Braves. This time around, I feel like it's the Dodgers, as our caller Sam said, that is starting to run out of gas and run out of pitching. They don't have Justin Turner. They don't have Max Muncy. They don't have Clayton Kershaw. If you want to go even further, they don't have Trevor Bauer, who you can blame to a certain extent for the Dodgers' pitching being out of gas because he compromised them with some bad decisions and putting himself in bad spots. So there's a lot that's going against the Dodgers this time around that wasn't going against them last year. But hey, like I said, this team has been very hard to predict. But the one thing I know about this team, when their backs are against the wall, we have all seen, that's when they play their best. 866-987-2570. Let's take a couple of more calls before we say goodnight. Tony in Fontana, you're on Dodger Talk live from Dodger Stadium. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Dave. I mean, everyone's kind of echoed all my points, but like watching today and yesterday, it's just the juice isn't there. I mean, except for the eighth inning last night. I mean, I don't know. It's just so hard to watch these guys. And I mean,
it was hard to watch them tonight, Tony. It was not hard to watch them through 106 wins in last night's eighth inning. If you hang in there, they will reward you.
I followed this team all season, and it's just frustrating. But we don't know the extent of the clubhouse. But should Dave, like, how should Dave approach, you know, tomorrow and going forward? Should he, like, kind of, you know, should he start, like, I wouldn't say yell, but should he start, like, have more accountability, or should he just, you know, keep going as in, like, a methodical approach? You know, like,
he should just keep being what he's been being, because once you change, that's when players start to check out on you. And honestly, I've said this, Tony, if you listen to the show, those players in that clubhouse, they're veterans. They hold each other accountable. That's how they did it last year. You remember hearing about that text chain between players when they were down 3-1? They spent a lot of time together during the bubble last year, and they'll hold each other accountable. And we'll see what happens. They're not going to quit tomorrow night, trust me. They're going to do their best to try to get back into this series. And like Jerry said, if the Dodgers can force a Game 6, that's all you can ask for. You give yourself an opportunity, even in Atlanta, to have Max Scherzer pitching Game 6 on regular rest and Walker Buehler pitching in Game 7 on regular rest. In fact, Max may even be pitching on extra days rest tomorrow, but that's all you can ask for. Win tomorrow and try to give yourself an opportunity to get Scherzer on the mound. And, you know, honestly, it hasn't been the pitching all season long. It's been the unpredictability of the hitting and the offense and their approach. I know tonight was a disappointing night for Julio, but, you know, whatever. You could say whatever you want when you're in that uniform and you're trying to protect your players, but the facts are he was out of gas. He did not have life on his fastball. He was hanging curveballs. Julio Urias in a playoff game does not give up 5 earned runs in 5 innings if he's not out of gas. And it's not just about pitching 3 times in the last 9 days. It's about the entire season. He's pitched more innings and more games than he ever has in a major league career. And if the Dodgers had Trevor Bauer for the full season, they would have been able to manage his innings, so he could have had a little bit more fresher legs and a fresher arm for October. That was the plan, but it was derailed by a player that put himself in very poor position. All right, before we say goodnight, I am going to play this for you one more time to give you hope. This is the ultimate hope for you Dodger fans out there. When Charles Barkley makes his famous guarantees or infamous guarantees, it usually backfires. So, Colin, let's give this fan base a little bit of hope.
I am not deterred. I am not deterred. The Atlanta Braves, we just wanted to try to make more games for TBS. I'm guaranteeing.
Hey. Play that in the clubhouse tomorrow before the game. If Tommy Lasorda was the manager, just like he did in 88 when David Cohn wrote that column in Newsday ripping those Dodgers in 88 during the NLCS, he put a copy of David Cohn's column on every player's chair. And when Bob Costas started to criticize the Dodgers lineup, he used that as well and had his players chanting, kill Costas before the game. So if I'm Dave Roberts, I play Charles Barkley's guarantee before the game tomorrow night. How about that? If you want Dave Roberts to inspire the troops, he could go Tommy Lasorda and play that Charles Barkley guarantee. That'll do it for us on Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald out here at Dodger Stadium. Thanks to Colin Yee back at our Burbank studios. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app. Excuse me, the iHeartRadio app is where you can download every Dodger Talk episode. And also on AM570LASports.com. Don't forget, our Dodger coverage continues bright and early tomorrow with Scam, Steve Sachs, and Tim Cates. I'll jump on with those guys at 8:05 in the morning tomorrow, so our Dodger coverage continues on Dodgers Radio bright and early tomorrow morning. Once again, the final score from Dodger Stadium in Game 4 of the NLCS, the Atlanta Braves take a 3-1 lead with a 9-2 victory. Have a great night. See ya.